Oh, are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
We're recording. Who knew?
Hello, everyone. My name is Jen, and I'm head of marketing for Making. We are in New York City, and we're going to be chatting with some friends.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Weiss, founder of Workroom Social, based here in Brooklyn, New York, and I do sewing retreats.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, tell us about your retreats.
So I do two big sewing retreats a year, one in the spring and one in the fall. They really are designed for garment sewists, although we love all kinds of making. And they are summer camp themed because I am a summer camp child.
Yes.
And I will never, ever grow out of it. I will be 90 years old and still talking about my adventures at summer camp. We do it at a real summer camp, and the vast majority of our attendees have never actually been to summer camp. And so I really hope that, I think it's like not as common as maybe you might think to go to summer camp as a child. I don't know. But I really hope that we're providing like a genuine, authentic summer camp experience to them so that at no matter what age you come until the day you die, you'll be talking about your sewing summer camp experience.
What has evolved within from the first camp until now that you're like super proud of?
The fact that it is even more summer campy now.
More campy.
This past fall, a friend of mine who is a staff person and has been there from the beginning, we actually wrote a play. It was a musical. And we got the entire, listen, not the entire. We got 99% of attendees participating in the play at sewing camp.
Amazing.
Grown-ups.
I love this
acting,
so much.
Acting, singing, dancing in the play. Oh. They didn't know. It was a complete surprise. No one knew this was going to happen.
Oh. Is there a video of this?
There's not because we were living in the moment.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so let's talk about you.
Me.
Yeah. So what is your maker journey? Where did everything begin?
You know, I learned how to sew when I was in high school in an independent study class. A very proactive teacher got me a sewing machine.
Wow.
And yeah. Yeah. She
was
amazing.
What was that teacher's name? Do you remember?
Oh my gosh. Sharon Christensen Jones.
Sharon, you are an angel.
Yes. Still think about her. All the time. I don't know. Years later, I have a pattern making certificate from the Fashion Institute here in New York City.
Nice. Yeah.
Pattern making, maybe not for me. I'm more into the like coordinating of the social events and that kind
of thing.
The
community aspect.
Yeah, I am. I very much. I always say everything I do at Workroom Social, the what is the sewing, but the why really is about like interpersonal connection. So I always say I trick people. I hook you with the sewing, and what you don't know is that I'm out to help you make friends with other people. It's something I'm very proud of. Like I have people who have attended our events and they come alone as one does when you're a grown-up. You go to these things alone and they leave with friendships that they still keep to this day. And they get together on their own now and they meet up all over the world and they go on their own vacations, talk on the phone all the time. I think it's so special.
That is special.
Yeah. Jen, what would you say is the hardest thing to do as a grown-up?
Oh, my God. Sorry. My ADHD just took over and like 5 million things just flew through my head.
So I think the hardest thing to do as a grown-up is to make new friends.
Oh, see, I don't have that.
Oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky.
But it's because of this community.
Yes.
Because of like what I do, right?
Yeah.
Like I've just made a new friend right now.
The two Jens.
So growing up, there was no craftiness in your family.
In my family, my mom is pretty crafty, but actually, I come from a traditional American family, which means broken home, which means that, you know, the parents weren't always there. So I only learned that my mom was crafty like later in life, but there is some there. But I was always crafty, drawing, beads, clay, paint.
Yeah.
Sewing came a little bit later. When I was younger, it was more the other stuff.
The other stuff.
Yeah.
I always think that it's like passed down in your blood regardless of, you know, who actually taught you. Because I learned from my ex-boyfriend's mom. Hmm. But it was recently remembered that, like, my Nona sent us knit sweaters.
Aww.
Like, way, way back in the day. Since you are so involved in the community, specifically the sewing community, what do you think we are doing well as a maker community?
I think the focus on the product, like, what you're making. Not the product. Not the end result. That's not necessarily important. But the focus on, like, what it is that we're doing is really good. Like, social media just stresses me out because I feel like the focus is on this. I don't even have the words to describe it, but it all just feels like I need to fit in so hard. But I like that making is just celebrating the fact that we're all making, that we're all doing, you know, crafting it for whatever reasons. And it doesn't matter what the end result is. It's more about the journey of doing it and then the coming together around this thing that we all love to do.
Yeah. I open up the app and it's not like beautiful flat lay or like, you know, this lit photo of somebody trying on a sweater they just finished. It's like somebody's sitting there and in their lap is their knitting project and their cat. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is what I'm doing right now versus look what I made, look what I made, look what I made, which that does happen.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice. It's a nice balance.
Yeah. I like the process. It's so nice to see things in stages.
One of the questions that I asked everybody was like, what is a craft that they wish that they knew how to do? And most everyone said sewing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Fiber arts friends, you should really come to me. To me to learn more sewing.
So I was just going to say, like, if somebody is feeling that, like, stuckness and they haven't taken the leap, but they clearly want to, what would your advice be for them?
I think just start trying. I think that's the easiest thing to do. I think there are a lot of, quote, rules around how you start that I just don't necessarily believe in. I think however feels good to you to start, you should just do that. And from that experience, you will learn this worked really well or it didn't work really well. And then that starts your choose your own adventure of this way or that way. So I specialize in sewing clothing. But that might not be for everyone who wants to sew. Some people might be really into quilting, you know, for home goods. Some people are really into sewing for, like, I don't know, just like reusing materials. Do that. Yeah. Or if you really want to learn how to sew clothes, I would say just jump into that. There's no reason, in my personal opinion, like, I don't think you need to spend time making a pillowcase or making a tote bag. Like, if you want to make a shirt.
Yeah.
Make a shirt. And your first one's probably not gonna go super great. But you know what? It also might.
It might. Yeah.
It might.
Yeah.
So why not just try?
I do think that, like, the reason that a lot of people do want to learn sewing is because all of our bodies are so different.
Yeah.
And how the fashion industry has gone is like, here's a number and just try and fit into that. There's going to be some learning curve, right? Like figuring out what fits to your body and like how to make things.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of just jump in.
Yeah, just jump in. I think community is really helpful. So like I run a private online community that's called Social Sewists. Cool. If you want to connect with other people in a learning environment, I think that's a great thing to do. Yes. I learned how to knit a couple years ago, and that's what I did. I joined a knitting community. I took knitting classes, and now I can knit sweaters.
Yay!
Not super great, but I do it. You know, I'm sure there are lots of people that you can connect with on making just to get started. If you want a low investment, I think you just get started.
Yeah.
Like, just go.
I've actually seen a friend of mine start sewing, like, I want to say like a year and a half ago. And one of the things that I really loved about it was she like just went to the thrift store and bought a bunch of sheets that she liked the patterns and like liked the texture and just started going because it was very low stakes.
Yes. Love.
And it was upcycling at the same time. Yeah, so it was like, if this works out, cool.
Yeah.
And if not, I can wear it to bed.
Yes. There you go. I always say when we have projects that don't quite turn out, mm-hmm. you know, the way we want, you can always wear it as loungewear. You know, yes. around the house.
Exactly.
It's totally fine. It's
exactly. Totally fine. So, if you were to describe yourself as one crafting supply, what would it be?
Scissors.
Scissors. Why would you say? Why do you say that?
I don't know. I like to destroy stuff.
This is the end of this episode. No.
I just love scissors. Maybe that's
yes,
why.
Yes, that's fair. And there's so many like good pretty ones too.
Yeah.
Do you have a good collection?
I do have a very good collection of scissors, actually.
Okay, so if people want to join your community or find out more about the camps.
Yeah, the camps.
Where do they find you?
Workroomsocial.com.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for chatting.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Jen. So fun.
New friends.
My name's Cassandra.
Do you live in the city?
No.
Where
oh my
you
gosh.
Travel from?
I am here from Orlando, Florida.
Oh, nice.
But originally, I'm from Mexico. I was raised there, and it's going to have a special place in my heart. I think that Mexico is an amazing country.
So tell us your maker story, your maker journey.
I've always been very creative, and I've always been that type of kid. I always needed to work with my hands or be distracted in some way, and it drove my mother insane because she did not know what to do with me.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was that we moved, mm-hmm. the very big move that I remember, to Connecticut. And we were there for 6 months in the dead of winter. Like, Mexico, yeah, it's warm climate, but it's also, like, where I lived was in a higher altitude. So mm-hmm. I was used to cold temperatures.
Oh, here. Sorry. We can scoot forward. No, it's okay.
You're okay.
This is what the edit button's for.
No,
you're fine. You got to get your stuff.
It's all right.
You got to get your stuff. We get it.
Yeah, but so I'm used to cold temperatures. Mm-hmm. And, like, the fact that we had to get, like, special winter clothes in Mexico, I feel like crocheting is much more popular.
Mm-hmm.
Knitting is also popular, yeah. but not the way that like you would knit for like these winter climates.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily need that thick yarn. Mm-hmm. You more do like the lacy stuff so that it's a little bit breezier mm-hmm. and stuff. And even back then, I had never been like exposed to it. Like the most that I had been exposed to anything like that was the drawing and the painting.
Yeah.
My aunts were very big in the sewing, so they were like seamstresses.
Yeah.
And I was exposed to that too, but never anything. I knew that they could crochet, I knew that they could knit, but they were more into the seamstress thing. That's what they made their living
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
I was in elementary at the time, in fourth grade, and I guess I built a reputation for myself, kind of like the way that my mom didn't know what to do with me. I think teachers didn't know what to do with me either. Because I was just bouncing off the walls with energy. And I remember, like, one of the teachers was trying to clean up, and there was a yarn kit that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And she just told me, just take it. Just take it. And it had the yarn in it, these big needles, mm-hmm. and an instruction manual. So this was before nice. YouTube.
Yeah.
This changed my life. Because my mom is not creative, has no creativity in her body at all. My dad and my brother are the same. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one that is considered an artist in my family.
Wow.
So I just was fascinated, and I just sat there for hours trying to figure out what in the world do I do with this? Then from there, it's been on and off. Like I said, my mom, like I had no one in my family to really teach me. When we got back to Mexico, my aunt saw that I was really interested in that. It's not like her main hobby, but mm-hmm. she taught me how to crochet a little bit better.
Nice.
That was my first introduction to crochet. But I taught myself to knit. My mother, she would just, you know, drop me off so I could like entertain myself for a few hours and hope that that was enough to like keep my energy like better, I guess.
Yeah,
at
just
home.
Like get it out.
I will say like I'm very grateful for her because she really like I know it was not easy, but like the fact that she knew I was so into the arts.
Yeah.
And that's in Mexico, it's like, it depends. Like, there's not a stigma necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, we're very artistic people, yeah. But like, I know that, for example, in school, you're like told to go do extracurricular activities, but most of the time it's seen as like, oh, for sure you have to do a sport. Mm-hmm. For sure you have to go and do some math classes after school or something like that. And I did do that, but like, yeah. She took the time to take me to those art programs. Yeah. That like were just holes in the wall, and somehow she found them. So I'm very grateful for her for that. And then she found a yarn store for me in Mexico. Nice. And I don't know how she did that, but one day she told me, like, we're gonna go to a yarn store. And I was like, oh. I had never seen a yarn store before. Because in Mexico, like, you have Walmart and you have like all of that. But that's not where they sell yarn, mm-hmm. unlike here. Mm-hmm. And then you have some little shops that have a little bit of everything, kind of mm-hmm. like a Michael's, but it's not like this. It's mm-hmm. not like this. And that was my first introduction to like a yarn shop. They were instrumental to like the creativity that I do now, mm-hmm. because I don't know. I was the only kid that would show up every Thursday night, mm-hmm. and they let it That's let amazing. It happen. They just,
so you were the only kid, but there are other people who came.
Oh yeah, a lot of older cool ladies, and they were fine with it. They like taught me so much, and like I said, that was before the YouTube. So they really showed me how to like actually like count my stitches, do my gauge watch. But then all of that just flew out the window because now I don't remember how to do none of that.
Yeah.
Because I've been like, you know, I went through phases. Like, yeah, I was doing that for a long time. And then I moved and I let that go. And I became more of like an actual like painter and like drawer and artist in that sense. And then went to art school. And
cool.
Yeah.
So your major was?
I went to art school in Florida. Mm-hmm. And it was for animation. So 3D animation.
Cool.
Yeah, I was very excited about it, but then things changed, and I kind of found my knitting back again when I was in college.
Yeah,
I guess, like, I don't know, I just was very inspired with, like, all the creativity around me, mm-hmm. so I was, like, very into the knitting back then. But I changed my major. I went to 3D modeling. You're a sculptor, but you're in the computer, you're sculpting.
Yes.
Characters or things that you put in movies. Because when you look at a movie that is like a cartoon, but like the Disney ones, everything you see has been sculpted.
Yeah.
So it's all 3D, but that means like actually someone had to create it in a computer. And that's what I wanted to do at the end of my mm-hmm. education, but then COVID hit. Because I graduated in 2019. And I went into an internship, and I finished my internship in December, and then 2020 hit, and then it was bad.
Yeah.
So now I'm a teacher.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing,
lived many lives.
Nothing to do with art, although I want to be an art teacher.
You went to Vogue Knitting Live?
Yes. I've been to Vogue for 3 years now, and this is like the best year I've been.
Yeah.
I've met so many cool people, and like mm-hmm. everyone has been so willing to like let me in, and I'm like, oh my god, okay. Like, I don't expect that when I come here, and like I know people have their friend groups, and I'm coming here by myself, so like that's so nice.
I love that part of the community, the people who do just accept, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that a lot of other communities don't do. Like, I would consider myself like not part of everything, but like as an artist, like I noticed there's a very big difference. There's still some things that we can work out in the knitting community, but I feel like
there's my question next.
Oh, okay.
So like, what is something you think that we could improve on, just as a maker community in general? Like, this could include any craft.
As a plus size woman, mm-hmm. I feel like a big thing that I feel a lot is this kind of disregard for just like people like me who yeah, maybe we need extra skeins of yarn, and maybe that means that it's a lot more expensive for us, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's understandable. Like, I'm not trying to say that yarn needs to be less expensive, because I understand the work that goes into it.
Yeah.
And as an artist, that is valuable. Like, I understand that, because that's their art form. But it's just something to, like, keep in mind. Keeping us in the conversation would be nice, you know? Because I feel like a lot of the time, I see it more and more, which is amazing. Like, yeah. you get those front cover models who are plus-size women. Mm-hmm. Or plus-size men. Mm-hmm. And it's so, like, validating, because yes. it's like, okay, we are all here. Mm-hmm. You know? Which is great.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's still a lot of people that don't necessarily care.
Yeah.
There's a lot of patterns that I don't get to do. Mm-hmm. And if I were to be able to do them, I would have to, like, do my own math thing. But that's not what I want mm-hmm. to do.
Inclusivity is very yeah. important. You are you, and you are fully you, and mm-hmm. you are proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
Our community should be fully, like, seeing all of that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in Vogue, I felt seen. I felt like, good. You know, I couldn't participate in it, but I saw, like, walking around from booth to booth, like, mm-hmm. you know, there's the places set up so that there could be conversations about these mm-hmm. topics, and I was like, oh my gosh, that was not what happened the first time that I got here to Vogue. Mm-hmm. So seeing that makes me very excited.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. we're getting there. We're gonna keep working on it.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy.
I think a lot of the answers of, like, what can we do better was centered around inclusivity in one way or the other, mm-hmm. or all of it, right? Mm-hmm. And the biggest message that I do feel like people, like, have left here is, yeah, we've gone a long way from what we used to be, but there's yeah. so much more work to be done. All of that, like, it runs so deep because it's been around so long.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to keep going and got to keep being loud about it. So,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing your story.
So happy that you yeah. asked me to come.
Yes, of course. Oh. Yay. Okay, one more question.
Okay.
If you were to describe yourself as a brand of yarn or a type of yarn, what would it be?
I don't know. That's weird. I don't know.
Is there, like, okay? Okay. If somebody were to say, describe yourself in 3 words.
Oh, in 3 words?
Yeah.
Okay.
What would it be?
Okay, creative. wait, no, there's more. I'm very, like, introverted, so that's definitely
okay.
in there. Definitely in there. Oh, you say, like, yes, I am. I'm very introverted. But I'm also, I'm
not gonna lie, that's hard to believe. Because you've been so, yeah, you're doing a good job.
So here's the thing. When I have people that I'm comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
I can let loose.
Good.
But it's hard for me to open up necessarily mm-hmm. When I don't know you that well, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that. And sometimes I just want to hide in a hole by yeah. myself
oh,
with my
I
yarn.
Get that.
Okay. So it's creative, introverted.
Yes.
But I think also, like, I try to be very happy. Like,
yeah.
try to be, like, yeah, happy. Because it's not very easy for me to be happy, but I want to, like, you know. I know that, like, I know what it is to feel, like, sad and lonely. Mm-hmm. So I don't want other people to feel that way.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's apply that to a yarn.
Oh, God. You were trying to do that with all of that.
What
I don't know.
It's like art yarn. Like,
oh,
the
that's
really
cute.
Fun, like...
That's cute.
You're like, you can't use art yarn for, like, every single project. I mean, mm-hmm. you could. But it's like, so that's the introverted part, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not always out into the world and...
I like it. Good. Only for
okay.
special occasions.
Yeah.
That's so cute. You're so sweet.
Oh, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
We chat for a sec and I'll
yeah.
just be like hi and then I'm gonna go
and then you're out.
Yeah,
you're just done.
Though I
yeah.
do enjoy talking to you.
Okay, well, why don't you start by introducing yourself?
Okay.
Oh
yeah,
hello, my name is Amanda. I am the boss lady behind Melanated Boho Bay.
Nice. Hi.
Yeah. Please introduce yourself. No one knows who you are.
My name is George. I don't know why I just said that. My name is Amy, and I'm the owner of La Bien Aimée, and I'm here at VKL 2024. It's excited to be here.
I know. As the
keynote speaker this year.
And made everybody cry at the gala last night.
I feel like I should have warned people, but I wanted everyone to have a natural emotional reaction to what I was talking about last night.
So. Organic.
Yeah, very organic. Yeah, definitely. For it.
Okay, I'm going to just go right out of the gate because I want to hear your story. But while you two are standing here, what is your rosebud thorn of the maker community?
I would love if there was more open conversation and communication between vendors and vendors, dyers and dyers, everyone across the board. I want us to openly talk about prices and standards and who's getting what and who's not doing that. What's the other one? The good thing? Connections. Mm. Every time we do get together, we do make organic connections that are not based on our numbers or XYZ. Very, very organic in person. I look forward to improving my business for better out of the connections that I make, since I'm always open to learning.
Oh, I like that. That's great.
I'm greedy for information. You gotta be. You gotta have the hustle.
Your thorn is my thorn, too. I think that as makers in this industry, that we need to communicate more with each other, support each other, lift each other up. We all know how hard we work. And so I think acknowledgement of that to one another is a huge step towards that. I'm really happy that we're back to in-person events again. I really thrive on connections with people and seeing people in real life. I mean, as much as like it's easy to stay at home in my pajamas and do virtual events, there's something about seeing somebody and feeling their energy and being around people. That's my bud.
And hugging.
Yes, hugging again.
If you've never hugged Amy.
I give good
hugs. She's a good hugger.
I just love everyone in our industry. I just love talking to all the makers. I love hearing their stories, why they knit, why they crochet, why they sew, why they make with their hands. I just love that. I love everyone.
We love you. Also, gatekeeping is out.
Yes, definitely.
No more gatekeeping.
No more gatekeeping. We're just going to share
from
here on out.
Yeah.
But like, why not, right?
Why not? Yeah, why not?
And sometimes it's just nice to have people who understand within your field when you're having a bad day or a bad show. Sometimes you just want someone to be like, this sucks. So they can be like, it did suck. And then you turn around and you're like, all right, how do we make it better? What worked for you? What didn't work for me? XYZ.
I am living for this energy. This is what we need more.
Yes.
Everywhere.
100%. The more that we talk about the stuff that's uncomfortable, the less uncomfortable it's going to be.
Absolutely.
And the more that people know. And Quaylen said it best. Successful people are going to be successful no matter what. If you have talent and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to figure it out. But then also Britt added, like, if you help that person, you're a part of their story.
Yes.
And that's so beautiful.
Collaborating. Mm-hmm.
And it's organic. Like, it shouldn't be something. I don't want people to go online and then, like, slide in everybody's DMs. That's not what I'm saying. It's like, oh, hi, Amy. Nice to meet you. We connect. Now I can go back and be like, hey, could you really help me? How did you navigate this path? What is it like for you to do your wholesale? I didn't get my wholesale prices till I asked one of my friends. And that's my standard. And people were like, no, 50-50. I was like, but if they buy her yarn, they can pay me the same price.
Yes.
And I would have gotten less if I never had someone who was like, oh, yeah, here.
Yes.
But it started with organic connection.
Yes.
With me actually connecting with someone, learning who they are, having a friendship, then being able to lean on them.
Absolutely. So. I really like this person.
I know. Okay.
No.
Let you have a moment.
I just want to say, Amanda was with me last night before I did my keynote speech. I was stressed out. And she, like, puts out this energy. Here, take the mic.
Sorry.
She puts out this energy that just, like, calmed me down. And that's what we need more of. We need more of that vulnerability.
If you're giving me good energy, I'm just going to give you
that's
good
exactly
energy.
That's exactly right. I lead with what I want to receive.
Yes.
So I put out as much kindness, joy, and happiness, and hopefully I get it back. Sometimes I don't. And then I just keep giving that person even more.
Yep. So, but if you don't, then just learn from that experience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All right, thank you. I gotta go sell some yarn. So
I gotta probably.
I'm gonna pull Jen back, supermodel Jen. Jen, walk my runway show.
Thanks, Amy.
Oh my gosh.
I just learned that you were a farmer.
How did you learn that?
From Amy.
I wonder how she learned that. But yes, I did. I was. I am. I never lost the title. Technically,
yeah,
I was
you
a farm
are...
manager.
Okay.
But I always say I retired because I no longer do it and I run my business full time.
Yes. Okay.
That is it. But yes, I did it for about 6 to 7 years. I managed over 300 acres, over 60 cows, 300 chickens every summer, 100 something turkeys, glamping stations, raised livestock, guard dogs, raised ducks, sheep. That was a gateway. I've done it all. That was the gateway.
Sheep was the gateway.
Sheep was the gateway. Yeah. Other than being a crafty person.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us your maker story.
Whew, it's long. I'll try to make it short.
I like it though. We're all here. We've got time.
So in New York City,
yes.
I was that kid. Mom, I want to be a veterinarian. That kind of thing. Obviously in New York City, most people are not having animals in their house and you're not getting access to farming and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a science-based middle school.
Okay.
Then I applied and got into John Bowne High School, which has an agriculture program.
Nice.
There's a 4-acre farm in the backyard with animals. We had miniature horses, sheep, alpacas, you name it, mm-hmm. reptile room. We also took animal classes. So I would go to English and math with my other Aggies. Because we were just in our huddle.
I thought you were going to say, I went to English and math with the cows.
I would like to. I would love to. We were for it. We were all in. And then afterwards, I would have class where I would like learn about cows.
Yeah.
Then we did one summer on the 4-acre farm. So we would come into school every day during the summer, learn about animals. Yep. Then
That's
my
so cool.
junior year, I did an apprenticeship on a horse farm. So technically, I used to be a horse girl. I don't do that no more.
I used to be a horse girl, too.
Not my crowd. Sorry.
I was there, too.
Yeah.
My mom got us a horse. Sorry.
No, I want to hear
interjection.
I want to hear it.
My mom had a horse growing up. Not growing up, but, like, when she was, like, early 20s, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Mom, if I'm quoting this wrong. She watches everything I do, so she's going to see this.
So does mine.
Yeah.
So does mine.
Hi. Hi, Moms.
Hi.
Hi, Moms.
Hi.
When we got to a certain age, I mean, we lived in Phoenix, Arizona. Let's start there.
Oh, okay.
So when we got to a certain age, she really wanted us to have the experience that she had because she loved her horse so much.
Gotcha. I understand.
But we lived in Phoenix.
Gotcha.
So there are spaces in Phoenix, though, where uh-huh. you can raise, like, you can have horses
mm-hmm.
and have, like, alpaca mm-hmm. and emus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's, like, bridle paths between the houses instead of alleyways.
That's so cool. Gotcha.
It was cool until the horse that I was riding got spooked because an emu came charging at us. Wings spread.
Oh, my God.
Wings spread. Terrifying.
Oh, my God.
My sister's on the back. Uh-huh. I'm in the saddle. The horse starts bucking. We get down far enough. Get off. I think the horse is calm enough. We get out to the main road, which was very busy, and mm-hmm. she just, like, up. We then fall off. That was
okay.
when we fell off.
All right.
And she took off.
Wow.
Can you imagine driving a car and just a horse is like...
Just I like,
life. In Phoenix, Arizona.
I'm like, I'm going to keep going because something it's running from, I don't want to see it.
Yeah. So we ended up being okay. But that was probably the end. We're not horse people anymore.
We're not horse people. Love them. Love you guys.
Yes.
I'll say
love you. You're wonderful.
Yeah. I did that. Graduated, went to SUNY Cobleskill, which is in upstate New York, big ag school. Had that moment of like, am I going to do veterinarian work? Da, 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 da. Small insert, I love public health. I wanted to work in, trigger word, the house where the animals go in and the burgers come out.
Oh, okay.
I loved that.
Got it.
Toured it, loved it. Feeding people.
Yeah.
I loved.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, it's expensive. Oh, we'll just graduate. So I graduated with my Bachelor's of Science in Animal Science. I can apply to vet school. You're not seeing that today, tomorrow, or next week. Then I went to my parents, and I said, I want some chickens or some ducks.
Yeah.
And my parents said, no. It's understandable. We lived in Queens. We lived in Queens, New York.
Oh, that's
There's
fair.
No
okay.
room.
Mom, it's fine. We're, yeah.
So then I said, okay. So I found an apprenticeship and left.
Ah, got it.
So I got there, started working there. It's over in Walton, 3 hours from the city, Catskills. Mm-hmm. By the end of that apprenticeship, I then was hired and their farm manager. They had sheep. I found the wool, got the carter, and that was a tumble. It was in the time of when Instagram was cute and fun.
Oh, remember when.
So you could find people.
Yeah.
Found people who were in the niche, didn't know it was a niche. Then started doing all the things.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's kind of just developed and grown. Mm-hmm. But originally, the love is hand spinning.
Yeah.
Art, yarn, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's kind of my story in a nutshell. I might be missing some stuff.
Yeah.
But you forget your own story when it's your story and how interesting it is.
Yeah.
Because I was also, technically still am, a black farmer.
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize the association till I was farming, and I was like, oh, farming's black. It's not white. It's actually black. I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's like, that's right.
Yep. You also design.
I do.
So how did that start?
I've been designing for, I want to say, a year and some change. I bought a course, spent a good chunk of money on it last year because I had one of my friends tell me that you need to put money back in yourself.
Yes.
And I wasn't doing that. I didn't understand that that was something that I should be doing. So every year, even if I can't make it, I'll try to buy a course. And I really wanted to learn designing, and I didn't have the discipline or the structure to come up with a design. Mm-hmm. I was already editing. I feel like all designers are always editing. But I wasn't editing with purpose. I was editing for myself.
Yeah.
Found the course, signed up. So now I design.
Nice. And this is your yarn and your design?
No.
No.
This is a combo. My design. But a combination of yarns. So Clinton Hill Cashmere,
right,
Scrap
okay.
Knitting, Chelsea Yarns. La Bien Aimé is in here.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I forgot she's actually in here.
Yeah.
I love to scrap knit.
Yes.
I'm a frugal girl. So
no,
if you got it in
so
your
fun.
Stash, we could take it out and knit with it.
Yeah.
So I like to pull what I have. And I don't really like skinny yarn, so I'm like,
but I love
double, triple it.
How you like put the colors together.
Thank you.
Yes, it's very intentional,
yeah, thank
obviously,
you.
But like,
yeah. I try.
Yeah,
A for effort. I've been looking like a hot mess. It's all right. I still look good.
She does. If you could craft with one person, famous family member or friend, and craft with them anywhere in the world, if they don't know how to knit, you teach them.
Beyonce.
Oh,
the answer is always Beyonce. If you're watching
someone
this, Beyonce,
Beyonce,
I love you. It's always
we
Beyonce.
We both love you.
I went to the show. You went to the show.
I did.
I creeped.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I got to make sure you're Beehive. I creeped.
Yes, Beehive for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, it was so good.
It was. It was.
Yeah. What is one craft that you don't know how to do that you would love to learn?
Oh, my God. Sewing. So yeah. I want to sew so badly. I have a machine. And I want to do it. And I've made a bag. I've made a bag.
Yes.
Not a good one. But I've made a bag. And I just, one day.
Yeah.
Because the project is hand-woven material with matching fabric, regular fabric, in a Marc Jacobs bag so I don't got to buy it.
Oh, my God. I love
it. That little tote.
All right. We're going to close out with what is the most favorite thing that you have ever made?
All of my pieces, maybe, ooh, my Daisy Jones. I made a Daisy Jones giant cardigan. That's my pattern. And I did a hand-woven scarf in the same yarn. My Daisy Jones is my favorite right now.
Beautiful. Where can everybody find your patterns and your beautiful yarn and you?
Melanated Boho Bay, Melanated Boho Bae. For the website, for the Instagram, for the TikTok.
It's Amanda. It's not Melanie.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not my name. Stop. I forgot
Stop
about
calling
that.
Amanda Melanie.
Please. But if you do, and you're buying something, I'm not mad. I'm not going to correct you. I'm sorry,
and
but
we're
I'm
ending
not.
The interview there because that was the best ending. Okay, good.
Hi, I'm Lauren Ireland. I am from Brooklyn. and I'm a creative director in the food industry.
What is your maker journey? Where did everything begin?
Oh, gosh. I had a really bad job that I hated. It ate me alive. And I lived in San Francisco and was kind of lonely and left the job and was between jobs, knowing I was about to go start my dream job at Nordstrom. And I started knitting because I didn't know what to do with my hands. I taught myself. And I don't have my first thing that I ever made because it looks, you know, real bad.
The scarf thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually a vest. I was like, it was very ambitious.
Ambitious.
Yes. It was Wool in the Gang, their Lil Joe vest.
Oh, yes.
R.I.P. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. To a real one.
R.I.P. Lil Joe. So you taught yourself. Did you use like YouTube or books or...
I mostly used illustrations, which I would not recommend to a first-time knitter. Now I rely on online tutorials constantly. Mm-hmm. Like Pearl Soho, I go back to over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
I have many, many bookmarks, but I think they do a really good job.
We always joke about how Pearl Soho Kitchener Stitch is like the most Googled thing, probably.
I have been there.
Because we are a multi-craftual podcast and app, what is a craft that you have not learned but you would like to?
Oh, God. Well, two things. Sewing. And I have tried many times. My mother has tried teaching me. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was an incredible, incredible sewist.
Nice.
She made all of my clothes when I was growing up, which I did not appreciate at the time, but now understand how beautiful they were. I inherited most of her fabric. And it's gorgeous, very cool fabric, like stuff from... stuff that she bought in England after World War II, these amazing raw silks. So I have this motivation. Mm-hmm. I have a sewing machine. I have a willing mother. I have the internet, but
you
I still
have
haven't. I have fabric, but I still haven't gotten up the courage to do it, which is so strange because I feel like it's something I would love and mm-hmm. be pretty good at.
Do you feel like it's like the lack of time in your life, or do you feel like it's that, like, oh my gosh, then I will be obsessed with one more thing and nobody will ever see me ever again?
I think it is a mix. No, that's a good one, because when I'm knitting I can be wherever. Mm-hmm. When you're sewing you're a little bit trapped. I think it is I have ADHD, which I learned about fairly recently. I have a tiny apartment in Brooklyn, and I have a back room that I suppose is where you put a baby if you had one. Mm-hmm. And that's where all of my craft things are. And it's full of dyes for fabric dyeing. It's full of yarn. It's full of paints. My sewing machine is back there. And so I think part of it is just that I have so many things that I do that really focusing can be hard. And the other part is I just find it intimidating. It's a machine. It's not just my two hands.
Yeah.
So that's why. But I will start. And the other one is crocheting, which is probably a thing knitters say all the time.
Yeah.
Can you crochet?
I learned how to crochet from when on the app we had classes for a second, which will eventually return.
I took one, and it was very good, but I'm remedial, so.
Yeah.
The teacher was great, not her fault.
But I learned how to crochet, so I do know how to. For me, I really want to pick up crochet, but because knitting is so much for my mental health, it's like, I think it's, I'm just a little nervous to dive back into something that I'm not as familiar with.
Just being a beginner at something, it's mm-hmm. fun but frustrating for me anyway.
Yeah.
And being able to be a little bit autopilot on knitting and then pop back in when there's a skill that's new to me or something challenging and mm-hmm. focus on that is just like my speed, I guess. Mm-hmm. So knowing that I'd have to really be all in on it maybe is a little bit nerve-wracking,
yeah.
but
yeah.
it's on my list.
Yeah. So tell us more about your journey with natural dyeing.
Oh, gosh. I have been back and forth with natural dyeing. I think that it requires an unbelievable amount of prep, which requires an unbelievable amount of time and space. And so, again, if you live in an apartment in any city, all of those things are just hard to come by. It's also just, it's a really different process because it's about letting go of the outcome. With knitting or with sewing, you know exactly what you're going to end up with, maybe some variations. With natural dye, all bets are off and every single batch is different. So I think that as a person who is, I didn't know I was type A, and I am, letting go of the outcome has been very, very tough, but very rewarding. So I go back and forth between natural dye, fiber reactive dyes, and acid dyes. Mm-hmm. I love dyeing silk, and acid dye is amazing for silk. So when I go back to natural dye, it is always with a very deliberate understanding that this is a process. It's going to take many days because of all the scouring and then the prepping and the washing, and everyone has a different method. So it's very like you have to be a magpie and look around and find all of your different sources and then cobble together whatever works for you.
Isn't it interesting how this thing that like we put so much love into like teaches us lessons, and it's like not a living, breathing thing?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it isn't kind of in its own way.
Yes. Because our skill levels and our interests change and our relationships obviously with different types of craft and making change. But I do think that it is hard to explain to people who don't do this what it means to me. Mm-hmm. They see me being busy with my hands and maybe thinking, oh, it's like a great thing to cope with your anxiety. True, accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've had people say that it looks like I am participating in capitalism in a fresh new way because it's about production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's satisfying to me. I am making something that I can use in my life that's beautiful and useful or give to someone.
Yeah.
And receiving something like that from someone else is very special to me.
It really is.
So
even being on the receiving end.
Oh, I love being on the receiving end. I rarely am because not many people I know knit.
Sorry, I'm the weirdo. Knitter.
I'm making myself a sweater right now.
It's funny that people talk to you about capitalism. Everything we do is capitalism.
Oh,
like it's tied.
Yeah,
you can't get out of
we
it.
We have to do this to like live and eat and buy yarn and shit. So, there's no way out. And I think I appreciate being able to acknowledge that we're all like playing office here.
Yeah.
And so having this as a way of making something and being productive that is free from anyone's critique. It's free from, I mean, unless you knit for a living, which, wow, you have the dream career.
Yeah.
Free from performance reviews, from having your income tied to it, from having your ability to make future plans tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply something to do that feels like it's coming from you for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very unusual to have access to.
Yeah. Where is your favorite place to craft in New York City?
Oh, well, I actually really like sitting at a bar, if it's not too dark, with a book and knitting. Otherwise, my home.
So you're a reader and a knitter at the same time. First of all, the ADHD thing, like the fact that you can just sit and read a book.
There are powers that come with ADHD.
But with my ADHD, that is not one of my powers.
Because everyone's so different.
I can't sit and read. I know.
Yes.
It's wild. So I'm like extra impressed when people can sit down and read a book and knit. It's like, wow.
I obviously have to stop sometimes. And I have gotten really good at repairing errors in my knitting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's like easier to listen to a podcast and do it. But there's something that's so nice about being in a public place, but in my own little island at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I love that. And I obviously at home, I spend a lot of time at home after work unwinding and doing that. And there have been plenty of times when I brought my knitting on set to photo shoots, and everyone always thinks I'm insane. They do not understand what I'm doing. It's hidden in a bag on my wrist.
Yeah.
But I can't not be doing something.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Might as well. Okay, if you were to describe yourself as a type of yarn or a brand of yarn, what would it be?
I'm definitely raw silk yarn.
Ooh, okay, why do you say that?
Well, I think it is an underappreciated type of yarn. It is so nice to work with. It's a completely different texture. It is produced with things that would otherwise be thrown away in the silk refining process. And it just creates these unexpected, gorgeous textures that are actually incredibly luxurious while also being sturdy, can absolutely last a lifetime if taken care of well. I have some silk dresses I've knit myself that have weathered all kinds of crazy adventures. And I am partial to knitting for olives silk, but I'm always looking for something new. Oh, yeah, I have a...
It's like right there, right behind you.
I feel like I've cleaned this store out multiple times. But yeah, I just finished working with one that was hand-dyed, and it was so much fun. So I love that. Great question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you think the maker community is doing well right now, and what do you think we can improve on?
Well, maybe this actually is a helpful answer. I was about to say, I don't know, because I'm not really a part of it. Mm-hmm. But that might be the thing that is missing, is that mm-hmm. I'm aware of these things, obviously. Mm-hmm. We've been friends for a long time. I know what you do. I'm aware.
This is my friend. I should have maybe said that as a disclaimer. This is my friend, Lauren.
I'm aware of all of this stuff, but the way I participate is very isolated and surfacey. Like, I go looking for patterns, or I go looking for people's comments on their projects so I can understand how something might work. Mm. Or I go to catalog my yarn stash, but mm-hmm. I don't engage in conversations. And I don't know why, because I actually really like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how to be a part of it. And maybe that's mm-hmm. the thing. It's partly I'm not looking, and partly mm-hmm. maybe the resources are not as apparent. Mm-hmm. There can be some closed groups. I think Ravelry is a good example of one. I just love it. But I see all of these chats that are hard to penetrate.
That is why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
So that everyone can feel like you don't have to be constantly a part of the conversation, because, like, obviously it is a problem when you're sitting there scrolling Instagram for hours when you want to be crafting, right?
Yeah.
But we want to have a safe space for people when they do want to pop in and feel like they are being seen and heard and included. So
yeah, I love that. And I will probably always be, skill-wise, a beginning, maybe it's intermediate knitter. And that's another thing. It can be, I think, a little intimidating to go into these spaces mm-hmm. where people really know what they're doing mm-hmm. and the vocabulary is super specific. Like I said, I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
So I should probably take a class. I would like to, actually.
Or I'll just take you out to the... I'll just take you out back.
That sounds really, really scary.
I'll just take you out to the group out back, and you will learn that it doesn't matter with certain people in this community. It doesn't matter. Thank you for chatting. Where can everybody find you? I know you're not, like, super active on social.
My website, which is not about knitting at all. I'm also a writer. It's bylaurenireland.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Such good questions.
Thank you. Yeah.